Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 4th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this new day that you've given us, another opportunity that we have to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you continue to show us. And today, as we go forward in our study, we ask that you would strengthen us and give us clarity of understanding so that we might be obedient to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the first chapter in the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, their four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and therefore had the face of an ox on the left side, therefore also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went up upon their four sides. And they turned not when they went. As for their wings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament was upon the head of the living creature, was as the color of the terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of a great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Prophets and Kings, page 448 in paragraph 1 says, while Jeremiah continued to bear his testimony in the land of Judah, the prophet Ezekiel was raised up from among the captives in Babylon to warn and to comfort the exiles, and also to confirm the word of the Lord that was being spoken through Jeremiah. During the years that remained of Zedekiah's reign, Ezekiel made very plain the folly of trusting to the false predictions of those who were causing the captives to hope for an early return to Jerusalem. He was also instructed to foretell, by means of a variety of symbols and solemn messages, the siege and utter destruction of Jerusalem. In the sixth year of the reign of Zedekiah, the Lord revealed to Ezekiel in vision some of the abominations that were being practiced in Jerusalem, and within the gate of the Lord's house, and even in the inner court. The chambers of images and the pictured idols, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, all these in rapid succession passed before the astonished gaze of the prophet. Those who should have been spiritual leaders among the people, the ancients of the house of Israel, to the number of 70, were seen offering incense before the idolatrous representations that had been introduced into hidden chambers within the sacred precincts of the temple court. The Lord seeth us not, the men of Judah flattered themselves as they engaged in their heathenistic practices. The Lord hath forsaken the earth, they blasphemously declared. There were still greater abominations for the prophet to behold. At a gate leading from the outer to the inner court, he was shown women weeping for Tammuz. And within the inner court of the Lord's house, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. And now the glorious being who accompanied Ezekiel throughout this astonishing vision of wickedness in high places in the land of Judah inquired of the prophet, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury, when I shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Through Jeremiah, the Lord had declared to the wicked men who presumptuously dared to stand before the people in his name, both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness. The terrible arraignment of Judah, as recorded in the closing narrative of the chronicler of Zedekiah's reign, this charge of violating the sanctity of the temple was repeated. Moreover, the sacred writer declared, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 14. The day of doom for the kingdom of Judah was fast approaching. No longer could the Lord set before them the hope of averting the severest of his judgments. "Should ye be utterly unpunished?" he inquired. "Ye shall not be unpunished." Jeremiah 25 verse 29. Even these words were received with mocking derision. "The days are prolonged and every vision faileth," declared the impenitent. But through Ezekiel, the denial of the sure word of prophecy was sternly rebuked. "Tell them," the Lord declared, "I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God." Again testifies Ezekiel, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God." Foremost among those who were rapidly leading the nation to ruin was Zedekiah their king, forsaking utterly the counsels of the Lord as given through the prophets, forgetting the debt of gratitude he owed Nebuchadnezzar, violating his solemn oath of allegiance taken in the name of the Lord of Israel. Judah's king rebelled against the prophets, against his benefactor, and against his God. In the vanity of his own wisdom, he turned for help to the ancient enemy of Israel's prosperity, sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses and much people. "Shall he prosper?" the Lord inquired concerning the one who had thus basely betrayed every sacred trust. "Shall he escape that doeth such things, or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Neither," said Pharaoh, "with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when, lo, he had been given his hand, done all these things. He shall not escape." To the profane wicked prince had come the day of final reckoning. "Remove the diadem," the Lord decreed, "and take off the crown." Not until Christ himself should set up his kingdom was Judah again to be permitted to have a king. "I will overturn it," was the divine edict concerning the throne of the house of David, "and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him." Ezekiel, the mourning exiled prophet in the land of the Chaldeans, was given a vision teaching the same lesson of faith in the midst of God, in the midst of the mighty God of Israel. As he was upon the banks of the river Shabar, a whirlwind seemed to come from the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, a number of wheels of strange appearance, intersecting one another, were moved by four living creatures. High above all these was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. A spirit of worldliness and selfishness had deprived the church of many blessings. We have no right to suppose an arbitrary withholding from the church of the divine light and power to account for its limited usefulness. The measure of success, which in the past has followed well-directed efforts, contradicts such an idea. Success has ever been granted proportionate to the labor performed. It is a limitation of labor and sacrifices alone, which has restricted the usefulness of the church. The missionary spirit is feeble. Devotion is weak. Selfishness and cupidity, covetousness and fraud exist in its members. Does not God care for these things? Can he not read the intents and purposes of the heart? Earnest, fervent, contrite prayer would open to them the windows of heaven and bring down showers of grace. A clear, steady view of the cross of Christ would counteract their worldliness and fill their souls with humility, penitence, and gratitude. They would then feel that they are not their own, but they are the purchase of Christ's blood. A deadly spiritual malady is upon the church of God today. Its members are wounded by Satan, but they will not look to the cross of Christ, as the Israelites look to the brazen serpent, that they may live. The world has so many claims upon them that they have not time to look to the cross of Calvary long enough to see its glory or to feel its power. When they now and then catch a glimpse of the self-denial and self-dedication which the truth demands, it is unwelcome, and they turn their attention in another direction, that they may be able to accomplish their own goals, and that they may the sooner forget it. The Lord cannot make his people useful and efficient while they are not careful to comply with the conditions he has laid down. Great demands are everywhere made for the light which God has given to his people, but these calls are for the most part in vain. Who feels the burden of consecrating himself to God and to his work? Where are the young men who are qualifying themselves to answer these calls? Vast territories are opened before us where the light of truth has never penetrated. Whichever way we look, we see rich harvests ready to be gathered, but there are none to do the reaping. Prayers are offered for the triumph of the truth. What do your prayers mean, brethren? What kind of success do you desire? A success to suit your indolence, your selfish indulgence? A success that will sustain and support itself without any effort on your part? There must be a decided change in the church, which will inconvenience those who are reclining on their lees before labor, who are fitted for their solemn work, can be sent into the field. There must be an awakening, a spiritual renovation. The temperature of Christian piety must be raised. Plans must be devised and executed for the spread of truth to all nations of the earth. Satan is lulling Christians into a sleep. He is lulling Christ's professed followers to sleep while souls are perishing all around them. And what excuse can they give to the Master for their negligence? The words of Christ apply to the church. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Why are you not at work in the same capacity in his vineyard? Again and again he has bidden you, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. But this gracious call from heaven has been disregarded by the large majority. It is not high time that you obey the commands of God? There's work for every individual who names the name of Christ to be done. A voice from heaven is solemnly calling you to duty. Heed this voice and go to work at once in any place, in any capacity. Why stand ye here all the day idle? There's work for you to do. A work that demands your best energies. Every precious moment of life is related to some duty which you owe to God or to your fellow men. And yet, you are idle. The message is clear to us today. God has given us the truth. Not just so we might absorb it and keep it for ourselves, but rather that we might share it with those who need to hear the truth and whose lives need to be transformed thereby. What is your answer today? Will you ask forgiveness for the opportunities that you have overlooked, the time that you have wasted? Will you ask God to give you that which you need most so that you might walk according to His will and accomplish that which He has in mind for you? Why not make that commitment today? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do for us. We thank you that you have included us in the work that needs to be done. We ask that you would fill us with truth and help us to share that truth with others, so that we might indeed be workers together with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 4th, 2019.